for fresh mercy, fresh grace, the help of the Holy Spirit as I duck under the covering of my fathers, that you help me today to speak as an oracle of God. Let your word go forth in power, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. You do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened with revelation knowledge of the word that goes forth, and our emotions to be further controlled and tempered by the power of the Spirit. As our word goes forth, let it bring deliverance. Let it bring healing. Help me, Lord, to redeem the time. Grant me the grace of a scribe instructed of your kingdom to bring out of treasure of your word things new and old. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Come and glorify Jesus. Come and testify of him. I lean on you for help this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We're in our book of 2 Timothy. We've been in this book for some time now. And the last time we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. There's no 2 Timothy chapter 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. Let's just go straight to the Amplified Bible so that we can redeem the time. And let's see what God has for us today as we do a brief recap from where we are sharing from the last time. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the Amplified Bible, reading from verses 15 to 18. And it says, read after me. Study, be eager, and do your utmost to present yourselves to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed. Say, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully what? Teaching the word of truth. Verse 16. But avoid all empty, vain, useless and idle talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Verse 17. And their teaching will devour it. It will eat its way like what? A cancer. Or spread like gangrene. So it is with Hymenaeus and Philetus. Verse 18. Who have missed the mark? Say, who have missed the mark? And swerved from the truth by arguing that the resurrection has already taken place. They are undermining the faith of some. King James said they overthrow the faith of some. Now let's look at it. We talked about it the other time. And I'll just do a brief recap. He said, tested by trial. You see, brethren, it is God that is our examiner. You see, it is not man. If it were man, then it would be easy. No, the man can favor you. He can give you extra marks and all that. But it's God, and God is very, very thorough. We can see that in his creation. God does not do things haphazardly. So when he says study, he did not say read the Bible. It is important for us to read the Bible. I know we all read the Bible. But here he says study. In particular, I was talking to men of God, but it applies to everybody that is a Christian. If you determine or you desire to fulfill your prophetic destiny, say study to show yourself approved unto God. He didn't just say study to show yourself approved. Then it would have been okay. He said to God. It's why? Because his God not only sees what you say, he also sees the heart from which it is coming from. Says, as a study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. You see, studying the Bible involves spiritual work. It's not just there are people in the seminary today who can quote the Bible off it, but they have no idea of God's purpose and destiny for them. Just like the Pharisees and the scribes and the doctors of the law, they knew the scriptures, they knew where Christ was to be born, but yet when he came, Bible says he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. So it is important for us to study. So I emphasize this while I read it. It says we should study. It requires spiritual work. It says correctly analyzing, accurately dividing. That means you can wrongly divide. That's why you have excesses in the body of Christ. Accurately dividing, rightly handling. Then, before you can what? Skillfully teach. You need to first of all, correctly analyze, like going to a laboratory. When you begin to analyze specimens and things like that. You know, in those days, just comes to me, I can't remember. We used to do what is called this, you put litmus, whatever, you put inside the acids and then litmus test or whatever. You know, and then you begin to drop that thing, a drop at a time, slowly. If you overdrop it, you'll not get the accurate results. So you must accurately analyze the word of God. Bible says, here a little, there a little. He said, that's the book of Isaiah 28. It says that, whom will he teach knowledge? He said, those that have been weaned from the milk. So it is after you have correctly analyzed the word and have accurately divided it, which means you are wrongly divided, that you can, then you can also rightly handle it. Some people handle God's word deceitfully. This already speaks to us about the motivation of people. If your motive is not pure and you are studying the Bible, you will not be able to handle it properly. Then, after you have done those three things, then only then can you what? Skillfully teach the word of God. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13 says that not everyone that you set milk, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So what we are talking about is not for babes. We have to grow up before we can accurately divide the word of God. Praise the Lord. So this, as I spoke to other times, speaks of our getting a spiritual education. Pastor has taught us. And it's very, very important for us to get a spiritual education. And it takes an increase in humility of heart and honesty of heart for us to rightly divide the word. That is, Bible says, God giveth wisdom to the lowly. To be lowly is wisdom. So you can look at something in the Bible, and yet you'll be looking at it over and over, and yet you will not understand it. But it takes a honest and a humble heart for you to accurately divide the word of God. It's very, very important for us. And last time I spoke about being tested by trial. Trial comes because of the word's sake. The book of Mark, it says that persecution and affliction ariseth for the word's sake. Praise the Lord. Psalm 12, verse 6. It says that the words of God are pure. Are pure words. Are silver tried in the furnace of earth. Purified seven times. You see, the Bible says that persecution and affliction ariseth for the word's sake. It is not arising because the word is not pure, but it is arising because an impure vessel is carrying the word. So the word now begins to try you. It's not trying the word. The Bible says that, the book of James, it says that knowing that the trying of your faith, that faith comes from the word of God, worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I put in my notes here. I touched on it briefly during last time. I said, currently the word of God concerns the perfection and the fullness of Christ and the manifestation of the glory of God in our lives and in the church is being tried. That is what we are facing right now. The same thing that Joseph faced. Psalm 105 verse 19. The Bible says that the word of God tried him. You can put it on the board briefly. Psalm 105 verse 19. Talking about Joseph. It says that until the time that the word of God came, the word of the Lord did what? Tried him. So currently, which you have been tried by that word of God. You can imagine what happened to Joshua and Caleb in the Old Testament. After God promised them that they were going to enter the promised land, they had to wait for 40 good years. I don't want to use the word bad years. So you can imagine what going through their mind as they will see their neighbors begin to die. They will see people going to fall dead. I follow him. They see the young people growing. So it will be trying them. There must be occasions where they will begin to wonder. They will put doubts in their mind. Are you sure that this will really come to pass? In particular, after Moses died, who was supposed to lead them in. So the word of God comes to try our hearts to see whether we will actually believe or not. And this is what at the end of the day separates the boys from the men. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. It will bring about to those that are approved and those that are disapproved. Because you see, many people after wait for some time. It's like Peter, James, and John. God had told them, Lord, I said, go and tarry ye in Jerusalem, you know, till we endure with power. But we know what happened. When nothing seemed to be happening, Peter said, I go a fishing. God said, yes, let's also. Because why? The time they had in there, the time frame for the promise of God to come to pass in their own mind had passed. So he said, let me go and find something better to do. Let me go and fishing. You see, that is why we must not leave the promise of God to go fishing, using that as an example. They left the promise of God because they did not know that it was only going to take 50 days before Pentecost will occur. But we know the story. God showed mercy upon them and he brought them back. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 19. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 11 verse 19. This is why we have to stick with us. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be what? Made manifest among you. We are talking about studying to show ourselves approved unto God. So this, you see, the problem that many Christians have is that we don't study. We don't meditate in the word of God enough. We don't spend quality time like we are preparing for an examination to make a first-class degree in university. So just skim over the scriptures. We just skim over it. Some of us at times, we must not fall into this trap. You know, you are reading, maybe today you are reading Psalm 91. You read it over and over and over again. So you want, Psalm 91 again. So just say, he that read in the secret place, that banner shout out, blah, 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 blah. Then just skip. Then you finished. Then you tick, I've read it. No. It is as you meditate on the word of God that God begins to unveil the scriptures. You now begin to see what you did not see yesterday. Why? Because the word of God is living and what? Powerful. They're not just words. They're not just reading the newspaper. So we're not only reading for information. We are now reading for revelation. Praise the Lord. So it is very, very important. So we study to have approved, because it's those that are approved that are going to be manifest in this day we are in. And like Pastor was sharing last 2 weeks ago, he spoke from James chapter 5, verse 7. We need patience whilst we're studying and are waiting for the manifestation of the promise of God. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 7, says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Say, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. And he had what? Long patience. Say, long patience, what? For it. So God expects us to have the same kind of patience that God has for the precious fruit of the earth. Nothing less. And as I was meditating, I began to think about, what does it mean to have long patience? Say long, not short patience. And I remember my mind went to the story of Abraham. It took him 25 years to wait for Isaac, the promise. So the Bible talks about long patience. It's not talking about the patience of just confessing today and then getting the answer. That is part of it. But it's talking about long patience, in particular concerning waiting for the precious fruit of God. That is the manifestation of the glory of God that we are waiting for. And I believe it takes something around 21 to 30 years. Look at, you know, it takes, if you have to your spiritual growth, you know, 21 years to 30 when Jesus Christ came into maturity. Abraham, it took him 25 years. So he says we need to have long patience, what, for it. And he said, be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord, what, draweth near. So while we are patient, it's for us to have established hearts, like pastors preached about 2 Sundays ago. So that when this promise eventually comes to pass, we are not going to abuse the privilege to carry either the bold anointing or the full anointing for those that are grown into maturity. Praise the Lord. It's very, very important for us to know that. Now, how do we study? There are 3 things I put down here that we need to be able to study. I'm not talking about just reading the Bible now. Studying to get something from the Bible. Studying to discover your purpose, your destiny, the treasures of wisdom that are hidden in the scriptures. We need, number one, honesty and humility of heart, which attracts the grace and the mercy of God. The Bible says God giveth his grace to the lowly. Praise the Lord. I also say we need to pray daily for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It's something to pray daily. Revelations, as we know, is continuous and also progressive. The Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You cannot live on yesterday's revelation. You have to keep on increasing in the light of God. The Bible says, in his light, we'll see light. Praise the Lord. And also, we also need to listen to true apostolic and prophetic teaching weekly that will give us the keys to unlock the scriptures. You see, we can study on our own, but we need certain keys from apostolic and the prophetic anointing on people that God has raised up. True apostolic and prophetic teachers, not just anybody. It is this anointing, as you read your Bible, as you study, you now come to church and they are preaching the word, then they will begin to drop keys that you need to open certain things that pertain to you in the scriptures. If, for example, if you remember the people on the way to Emmaus, the Cleopas and one other guy, they were after Jesus Christ resurrected and they were going down the road and Christ joined them and they did not know. And they began to complain. I said, don't you know that? Didn't you hear about what happened that they killed Jesus Christ? We trusted that I would be one that would deliver Israel. And Jesus Christ said, oh, fools, slow of hearts to believe. Those are very strong words. If I were to talk to somebody today in the congregation, I say, you are a fool. You are slow of heart to believe. People will be offended. But that's the way God sees those that are not spiritually educated, that read their Bible every day. Not because God doesn't want to show them, but they are slow of heart, what? To believe. The Bible says they could not enter the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. Then the Bible says from the law down to the prophets, he opened the scriptures and he began to tell them things concerning him. The Bible says when they got to the house, when he broke bread, he vanished from their sight. Then he said, did not our heart burn? Revelation knowledge. These are things that those guys, they were disciples. He said, disciples coming from Emmaus. So you can be a disciple and yet not have an understanding of the scriptures. Said, did not our hearts burn when he opened the scriptures to us? Starting from Genesis down to Deuteronomy, and then the prophet said, from all, not just one. He started showing, that's me. That is this. That is it. I want to tell us that the same applies to us. Pastor has taught us. He said, those that are taken from this, we say their own part shall be taken away from the book of the things written in this book. There are things that you have been reading every day. That one day, not necessarily you may not get everything. See how little that God will begin to drop things concerning you. Things concerning you. The person you will marry. You are not going to see somebody there. Maybe you are reading your Bible and see you are going to marry Stella. No, 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 no. That's not what we're saying. Everything is coded in principle. Now God will take this one and join to this one and join to that one. Then you're able to say, oh, oh, yes. Why? So you can have a sure foundation for the critical decisions you make in your life. You many times people make decisions based on what they tell them. You need to come to the place where you have an understanding of the scriptures. And what I'm saying is, it's not because God doesn't want to leave it to us. It's just because maybe some of us are not diligent enough, or we have not taken the word of God as seriously as we should. So God is once again encouraging us and exhorting us to take studying the scriptures seriously. Because wouldn't it be a shame for you to come before the bare message of Christ, and at the same time you have been reading every day, even confessing every day, and say, those were the things written concerning you, but you didn't do it. You see, when you understand, it gives you a vision. You can run. So you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But this one says, okay, and they will come and say, okay, you have been called to be a nurse. All this fun that people talk about the body of Christ. You just laugh. Why? Because you have an understanding. You know who you are in Christ. No more being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You see, I don't intend to spend too much time, but you see, I'm saying it because many people are being led astray in the body of Christ today because they don't have an understanding of the scriptures, especially things concerning them. And God wants to have an understanding of things written concerning you. So you know exactly, so that if a word is coming, you see, when in the body of Christ, they have abused the prophetic ministry. A prophet comes to confirm, clarify, and amplify. We are not led by prophets. I say it again. We are not led by prophets. In the Old Testament, they were led by prophets. Why? Because they did not have the Spirit of God in them. But in the New Testament, we are led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But the problem you have with this, you have a bunch of Christians that will not spend time in the Word. And if you read where he said it in the book of Romans, I've just mentioned Romans chapter 8 verse 14. Let me link two scriptures for you to see. It says, for as many as are, no, go to verse 13. 13, please. Now, see the problem. The reason why many people are not led is because they are controlled by the flesh. So lick it. It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Continuing in another sense, for. That means if you don't crucify your flesh, you are not going to be led by the Spirit. But why do people come to church every day? And the prophet comes and says something, and they swallow it. Line, hook, line, and sinker. And they go and do it, and it doesn't work. You know why? When you don't have first-hand revelation, somebody comes to you and says, this is when you are going to marry, and you don't know. Is he going to live with you? When the rubber hits the road, what are you going to do? Are you going to go and be the prophet and say, you said? You had better know for yourself. Say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But the key is in the verse that is before. If you don't crucify your flesh daily using blood, word, and the Spirit, you will be led by the sin nature in the flesh. So you will not be able to hear God. So you are going to be subject to what they say. And you will know. If at all you obey and it works, it is going to be tested by fire. That one is going to be tested. It is going to be tested, folks. How that when you are married and you are waiting for children? And you go back and say, I thought you said I should marry this person. Say that they would, why? But when you know you're going to stand. But I said, standing, after doing not to stand, stand therefore. Not going to be doubting and wondering. You're not living by what somebody said. You're living by the word of God that is sure. Peter said, we have a much word of prophecy. It's very important for us to grow up. We need to grow as Christians. And I discover God talks to everybody. If your heart is right, at 12, he spoke to Jesus. At a very young age, he spoke to Samuel, and he was not born again. He spoke to Joseph. Depending on what your heart is. The Bible says that a child is known by his own works, whether they're good or evil. So by the time you come to church, you should be prepared. You have studied, you have meditated, so as the word is coming forth, keep confirming, clarifying, amplifying. Then you are able. You know why? Do you know why? Because the vessel that is standing before you is not perfect. That's why the Bible says, despise not prophesying. Say, hold fast to that which is good. Don't just grab everything and go away. Iberian Christians, they went back after Paul preached to them. And they began to search the scriptures to see whether what Paul said was true or wrong. It's very important for us. Let's continue. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to study. Why do we have to study? Let me briefly run through it. Christians limit their ability to fulfill the fullness of their prophetic destiny, hidden in types and shadows, due to lack of study of God's word. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says that, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are what? Sanctified. Woe to God that could spend today's service talking about studying to show yourself approved unto God. A lot of people have been led astray. Wrong predictions that don't come to pass. Why won't your faith shake? Why won't your faith shake? Let's continue. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, we need to also study to show ourselves approved unto God. Why? To overcome heresy and doctrinal errors, especially in this end time. An example is Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Gospel talked about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection. The reason why we have to study to be approved is so that God can approve or show his approval in this end time with the manifestation of the Spirit of God in his fullness. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Please put it there. What does it say? It says, ye men of Israel, hear this word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. You see, the miracles that Christ that he's talking about is not talking about the spirit dimension. He's talking about spirit without measure. So this is how God is going to show approval to those that study. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to know that. We've already talked about, read verses 16 to 18. It says, avoid all an empty and vain and useless idle talk. It says, it leads to more ungodliness. That is, it takes you away from purpose. Are you following me? And also, it says that it spreads like what? A cancer. You see, and I began to talk about specific people in the Bible, Hymenaeus and Philetus. These ones were the ones that were preaching that the resurrection had already passed. And he said that they overthrew the faith of some. A lot of that is going on in the body of Christ today. When people come and preach heresies, things that are not accurate. And for me, I don't want to mention examples, but one that just flashes in my mind is an abuse. Abuse of the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody must have started that thing somewhere. But just the blood of Jesus. The blood, as if it's a talisman. I can never forget when Pastor opened the scriptures in the book of Revelation chapter 12. He says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and love not their life. But the preceding verse was talking about the accusations of Satan. He said, he accused them day and night before their God, and they overcame him. We overcome those accusations by the blood. It's not something you put on your car. You can't go into the Old Testament and took what Moses did and then misapply it and then say you put it on your lintel. Wrong. There's nowhere in the New Testament that they put the blood of Jesus Christ on the lintel. The blood is to cleanse your heart from sin and to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Rightly dividing the word. It's Revelations. Put it there. Revelations chapter 12. He was talking about, he said, accuse them before God day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Put it there. And I heard a loud voice saying, say, for the accuser, who is the accuser of Satan? Accuser our brethren is cast down. And accuse them before God day and night. So you want to pray. He's condemning you. He's accusing you. Enough of that nonsense. Jesus Christ told the woman, said, woman, where are the accusers? The only way you can deal with those accusations effectively using the blood to cleanse your sin from all unrighteousness and then apply it to purge your conscience from dead works to serve living God. It's not something you put on the expressway. You see how people take a little bit of truth and then they misapply it? Same thing when people talk about the anointing oil. You can't take the Old Testament and bring it and misapply it in the New Testament. They anointed the tabernacle, the physical building in the Old Testament. But the New Testament, the master only told them once to anoint people with oil. Then James talks about it. So you can't go and buy a bottle of anointing or open a shop of anointing oil and begin to sell to people that you begin to anoint their meter, anoint the examination paper. Rubbish and nonsense. Idolatry. Because they have wrongly divided the word of truth. Let's continue. So he singles out Ananias and Phygellus. You know what he did to them? Open to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. That is what God is going to do to these people that are hindering the purpose of God. Paul said, I deliver them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. See, of whom is Imenos and Alexander, that's Alexander and coppersmith, whom I have delivered unto what? Satan. That they may learn not to blaspheme. God is going to do the same today. All these erroneous teachings, Bible says they overthrow the faith of some. Would you know the flesh likes to say the blood of Jesus? The flesh doesn't want to pray for 1 hour. It wants to pray the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, God. Please, I'm sorry, Lord. Blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I'm not saying it to you again. Some people don't understand. But you see, these doctrines they are hindering the purpose of God. That's why I'm trying to say it. It may sound funny. I don't mean to abuse people. Some don't know. But that's why you need to study. If you study here, you understand. I had a pastor discover that scripture by studying and meditating. And I came and shared it. I said, it is true. So, he delivered them to Satan. You know why? If they don't deliver them to Satan, they will keep on teaching this wrong doctrine. And we're going to keep on going on this mountain over and over and over and over again. Not knowing how to use our weapons. What are supposed to use to clean? You don't use to clean, you use to fire. That's what we're doing. You are facing the blood of Jesus. Then you want to load with the word. Then they don't load with the word. Instead of them to fire by the spirit, they keep firing with the wrong. Can you imagine you have a car? And then you're supposed to put engine oil in the radiator. You put your engine oil, inside the engine. Excuse me. That thing is a spirit, it won't affect me. Just you now put your engine oil inside the radiator. You now put water in the engine. The engine will knock. That is what is happening. Many people's engines, spiritual engines, are knocking today spiritually because they don't know how to use their weapons. Praise the Lord. So today we are going to let's start from verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, trusting that God will help us. See, I've been talking about Ammonius and Phygellus. They were leading the people astray. in particular because we are preaching heresy. That resurrection is past. If you say resurrection has passed, then what will happen? People will lose their motivation for purity. But see, he that had this hope in himself, purified himself in as his pure. It's like you are going for an examination and somebody comes and misleads you and say they have finished the examination. Would you want to enter again? You know. So if you preach straight and narrow, what is straight and narrow? Say the thing has already passed. So who am I this? Let me just take my time and enjoy. That's the problem. They are leading people astray. Now let's read. 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 to 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them. Say, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. But, in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore purges himself from what? This. He shall be what? A vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto what? Every good work. That is our destination. That is why we need to purify ourselves. That means if you don't purify yourself, you won't be prepared unto every good work. Now, let's look it. Take it a step at a time. It says that the foundation of God standeth sure. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 speaks about the foundational doctrines of Christ. You know, he was talking about these guys that were preaching and teaching that the resurrection has already passed. So now say the foundation of God stand there sure. What was he talking about? He was speaking from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3, where he speaks about the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. You see, this resurrection, I will just mention it in passing, is the heart of Christianity. It's the heart that pumps blood to the whole body. Once the heart stops working, the person dies, right or wrong. So if you remove the resurrection, the power that comes from the resurrection, Christianity becomes a dead religion. Even to fulfill purpose and destiny, it is that life of the resurrection that guarantees your being born again, that guarantees your entering into perfection and fullness. So take it away. Satan went to the root through these funny guys. But he has failed in Jesus' name. He's doing it another way today. He's saying that perfection is not possible. Because we already know resurrection is not past. And he says something. He says, God knoweth them that are his. He said, having this seal. What is the seal? He said, the seal is the Lord knoweth them that are his. That is the seal. He's not talking about God knowing you. God knows everybody, Christian, unbeliever, even those that have not been born, like he told Jeremiah, I've known you before you were born. He says, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. He's not talking about that. No. That word no is the same word in the Hebrew called yada. Bible says, and Adam knew his wife. Talking about intimacy between a man and a woman that will cause them to bring forth fruit in their likeness. Say, God knoweth them that are his. So it's not talking about just knowing that your name is Pastor Williams, your name is Pastor Laulu. No, that's not that kind of knowing we're talking about. It is a knowing of intimacy that will not cause the bringing forth of fruit in your likeness, in his likeness. That's why he spoke to Abraham. He said, I know him. It's the same word, yada. He said, I know him, for he will command his children in the way of the Lord. So that is no. So say, God knoweth them that are his. That's why he said Malachi. He said, in that day, I will make them my jewels. Not everybody. He said, they shall be mine. He said, the Lord of hosts. I follow the sons of Zadok. He said, they will approach before me. Those that went astray, they will not. They will approach before me, went to the most holy place, the place of intimacy. Minister to me. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? God knoweth them that are his. Who are those that are his? I put it to summarize here. They are those that are bringing forth fruit, the fruit of love, unto perfection by departing from iniquity. Because that scripture says that, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means if you don't depart from iniquity, he's not going to know you, right or wrong. So the prerequisite for knowing him is to depart from iniquity. Now let's look closely at this as we continue. Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. He said, in that day, verse 20, please. That's from verse 20. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. So he's talking about fruit. If you look at the discussion. Say, wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. Are you with me? If I see Pastor Laulu's daughter now, once I see her and she smiles, this guy has the same dentures as his father. Are you with me? Just give a simple example. So, by their fruits, you shall what? Know them. But see, that baby, that child didn't come with physical knowledge. It was intimacy that gave birth to him, and she began to grow more and more, looking like his dad. So also should we in Christianity. Next verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Next verse. And then I will I profess unto them, I never what? Knew you. Same word. Yada. I didn't have intimacy with you that brought forth my character in you. And that character is love. And why? He said, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Same thing that Paul was talking about. He said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows those that are having intimacy with him. I know those that are not having intimacy with him. You can do everything as a pastor and yet not have intimacy. Go and ask from Samson. He said, they did a lot of mighty works. A lot of that's going on in the body of Christ today. And there's a rude awakening for these people in the body of Christ. They depart from ye that walk iniquity. I never knew you. That is why Paul says something, book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, going into 13. He said, I show you a more excellent way. It's not wrong to do miracles, to do signs and wonders, but go by the excellent way of love. So it's not wrong to prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ, but the priority is to know him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and other things we are going to do. Now, briefly, like Pastor taught us, iniquity means lawlessness. Not keeping God's spiritual law of life and law by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Pastor taught us, there are two kinds of iniquities. Say passive iniquity and active iniquity. Now, let's see what is passive iniquity. So we can see whether we fall into this and quickly adjust. Passive iniquity is practiced by omitting keeping spiritual laws. That's what happens when you don't pray. As a habit. And yet, you go out every morning. You have a form of godliness. You are looking pious. You are practicing passive iniquity. It occurs when we do not practice, when we practice omitting spiritual laws. Active iniquity is breaking God's moral laws, the Ten Commandments, summarized in love. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says, love is fulfilling of the law. And it is done by the mouth, the heart, and then we do. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. This is how you do it. The way you don't, the way you practice, you practice the law of life and love is you believe what in your heart and you confess with your mouth before you now do. If you do without the background of heart and mouth, you are doing rugurugu to the answer. What do I mean by that? Let me explain. You are not fulfilling the condition. You are omitting the weightier matters of the law. Even though you get the result, are you following me? It will not be accepted. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says that, though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profited me nothing. So, that is active iniquity. So, the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest what? Do it. Pastor taught us last week, Wednesday, I believe, about the law of life and love, where Jesus Christ, John spoke in John chapter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, said, this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. We have to love one another with divine love. Not loving ourselves, loving our neighbors ourselves. God has moved it up in the New Testament because he has not given us access to his life. Are you following me? So that we can use that life to love like he loved. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that in the book of John chapter 20, it says that, you know, if we believe in his name, we have life through his name. Romans 8:2 says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So we activate this law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I follow him to love one. That is how we obey and practice the law of life and love. That we can now love as he loved. Praise the Lord. And we do this daily by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to keep God's commandment of love. Praise the Lord. Now, our purpose as Christians, from what I've been speaking about God knowing those that are his, and then for us to depart from iniquity, is our purpose in Christianity. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. What does it say? Let's see. Talking about us. See? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation and appeared toward all men. Next verse. Teaching us that denying our godliness. That's when you deny yourself every daily. The pastor preached some about last week. And worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Next verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. This is what I want us to see. That he might redeem us from some iniquity, all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. I'm going to stop because I believe my time has gone. We need to critically watch out for this issue of iniquity, because in Matthew chapter 24 verse 12, it says that because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Our love will wax cold in Jesus' name. You see, but when you begin to practice passive iniquity by omitting keeping spiritual law, prayerlessness, or not being as diligent as you ought to, you are gradually moving towards that. I'm not talking about when you make a mistake or you are tired. As a habit, you don't pray, you don't confess the word. What happens is this: many are disciples of Christ. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of godliness. Nothing is working in them. So you just find at the end of the day, they keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. Then, like it says in Matthew, they just get offended and they fall away. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Or the one we are familiar with is active iniquity. When it's going on, you break God's laws, you commit adultery, you know, he steals and all that. But you see, it's the sin of omission that are led to the sin of commission that we now see. So we need to watch for those two things. It's very, very important for us, you know, to watch for those things, especially the force of iniquity. But I say, iniquity is abounding. But I was in the book of Romans, say, where sin did abound, grace did much more what? Abound. Let's bow down to pray and talk to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. Let's ask him to forgive us. Let's ask him to forgive us where we have not been diligent in the study of the word. We have been lazy in meditating in the scriptures. It's very important for us, folks. I give this example. I'll give two examples. Just come to my heart. Pastor gave the example of where God had to rebuke him, that he knew physics more than the Bible. And God asked him a question. I said, you quote Philippians, somewhere in Philippians, thinking of things that are true, 4:8. And he said he couldn't say it like that, like he would mention a formula in physics. One day he's going to ask you the same question. Not physics, but maybe a scripture. I give a second example of contemporary, you know, people in our time that we know carry it again. Late Papa again. He said one day Leo just appeared to him and they were discussing and he wanted to do something. So Jesus Christ told him, Lord Jesus Christ, I beg your pardon. He said, just get a few people. He said he began to rack his brain and he said, oh, few, God, why can't you be specific? He said, Jesus Christ rebuked him. Can you imagine? He said, if it's something else, you will know. Folks, don't let spirit that Christianity. Or let me put this way, pastor has taught us our spiritual education. Your very life depends on it. God told Moses, he said, make sure you build according to pattern. If it's 6 cubits, it is 6 cubits. Don't make it 6.5. So he said, he began to think, and then that's why you have the Holy Spirit. He said, well, guide the altar. And the Holy Spirit now reminded him and said, where Peter was talking in other First Peter, he said, wearing a few souls, even 8, passive. If you find it, put it on the board. Can you ever imagine that God will ask that kind of question from somebody? Put it on the board if you find it. Where Peter was talking about the Ark of Noah. He said, wearing a few people, that is 8 souls were saved. So when God was talking, there is Bible language, that God will use to talk to you. If you don't know what it means, you're going to be looking at. That's why you find that people always believe God for visions and dreams. You don't understand the scriptures. See, Jesus Christ was talking to him. If you go out one of his books, he rebuked him. He wasn't saying, you have tried. Bye-bye again, far. He said, which sometimes were disobedient, when once his long-suffering of God waited the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight, souls were saved by water. God expected him to know. He expects us to know, but you cannot know until you study. Show yourself approved unto God. Unto God, not unto man. As a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. All I want, help them build my life upon all this world. Be blessed and walk to Rome. All I want, not gain, I have found at last. Spent and worthless now on death to to know, or to know. Spoke to me while we were singing that song, and I was just, he gave me two more examples of our Lord Jesus Christ is our goal and it's our pattern. He spoke to me from the book of Isaiah chapter 61. When I'm going to declare his destiny, he said, the Spirit of Lord God is upon me, and he has anointed me to what? To preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind down the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Full stop. He knew where he was going to stay. He did not add the day of the vengeance of our God. Why? He rightly divided the word. We need to do the same. We need to do the same. Parents, we need to do the same. When your children are growing up, they may not know everything, but you help them to rightly divide. You separate the wheat from the chaff. The second example he gave me was when Lord Jesus Christ, they were pushing him to go to the Gentiles. He said, no, I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know why? If he had gone to where God did not send him, or he has left his calling, he would have died prematurely. You can see how dangerous this is if you don't understand the scriptures. God is saying, stay. Because he told David to go to attack the Philistines, the second time, said, wait till you hear the sound at the mulberry trees. It's very critical. Don't let's take our Bible study with levity. Your very life. If a doctor comes today and says, God forbid that you have coronavirus, don't you know how you are going to take your tablets? Why? Because you don't want to die. So if you don't want the same thing spiritually, begin to study. You may not get there in one day like a deacon or like a pastor, but begin to meditate. Begin to cry to God, Lord, open my eyes that I might see my purpose and my destiny. Open my eyes. So by the time you come to church, wherever you are, as word is coming with the right attitude, that is for me. That is for me. That is not for me. That is for me. And then that is how you're going to get the timing. But when you don't spend time, and you spend more time in your secular walk, and spend less time, meanwhile, it is that spiritual education that will sustain the physical. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivered from death. I don't want to overemphasize it, but I'm trusting God for fresh grace and mercy, including me myself, to take the word of God seriously, so that I will not be led astray by false teachers in the body. Let's now pray. Say, Lord, please have mercy on us, so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the importance of studying your word to show myself approved unto you and not unto man, as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I come to ask for fresh mercy, fresh grace to labor in the word. Also to pray daily for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, so that the eyes of my understanding will flood with light as I meditate on the word. Also to listen weekly to true apostolic and prophetic teaching, so that I can rightly divide the word from the keys that they drop in their messages and fulfill my prophetic destiny hidden in the written word. Let's now pray in the spirit. Father, we thank you. Father, thank you. Lord, just thank you. In Jesus' name. One more scripture. Just coming to me. What did the Bible say? That if one prophet speaks, say, let the other judge. Because he can make a mistake. He said, it's in the Bible. Say, if one let speak two or three, say, and let the other judge. Why the chaos that just occurred about prophecies about Donald Trump entering? He overthrew the faith of many people. Still overthrowing them. Some are still believing that Trump is going to enter. Can you imagine? Let's pray for our healing as we've been taught. The Bible says that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destructions. So just where you are, the Bible says he preached the word and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So the word of God has been preached. The power of God is in atmosphere. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me. That cleanses you from all sins. Say, Lord, I receive my healing by faith. Whatever the need is, say, I receive my provision. I receive my deliverance by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the power of God is present to heal. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.